All right, Book of Jude. That's way back in the back where we was this morning. This may take a while. Yeah, I got a lot of notes. We'll see what happens. Herodias Bernard was a great saint of the past, and he made this statement about the Epistle Jude. In some ages, evil seems to sleep. In the last days, it will awaken, it will awake to full life and activity. It will seize every moment, the press, the pulpit, the platform. It will enlist every science and art, music, sculpture, painting, portrait, philosophy, making them all subservient to its development. The multiplication of crimes, contempt of laws, blasphemies, these are the specimens of the energy of evil. Now, today, evil's taken over the press. It's taken over the pulpits, churches, the platform. In the day that you and I live, these things fill our morning newspapers, TVs, radios, smartphones. So we're looking at the last days, and we're living in the last days. When we go on all of the, when we read all of the books in the Bible that talk about the last days, just a few is like Peter, Jude, the book of 1 John area, they talk about the last days. Paul preached on the last days. And they told us all of these things, and the way they put it is pretty interesting because it's coming. Well, the thing is, now that we see it, it's actually here. We're living it. We're living the last days. So, what can we do as God's people? Because we are living in these days. What can we do to it? And Jude details for us what believers can do during the apostasy. Now, when you get on an airplane, what do? You get on there, you sit down, and they start getting everything ready, and they come along and they tell you how to buckle it up, you know. You gotta get your buckle on there, and pull this strap, and pull that strap. They tell you about if you got a water landing, you'll want to use your life preserver. They tell you about the oxygen mask in case you lose pressure, cabin pressure, and you want to pull it down. Ryan, if I'm ever with you, be sure to fix yours first. Then fix mine if I can't do it. That's the way it works. Now, we can either pay attention. Oh, and they tell you, we have 6 exit doors. Before we decide, you know. Those are important to know. And if we don't know where they're at, if we don't know how to do all of these things, and we get bored with it because how many of you sat on a plane and heard that at least twice? So every one of them did it, but we're to be paying attention. We're to be listening to this because listen, we may need it. When I was training horses and shoeing horses, I used to try to tell people once I was finished with a horse, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do. Well, I can ride a horse. I don't need anybody telling me how to ride a horse. I'm like, suit yourself. And I had a lady one time ask me to come over because she couldn't get her horse to do anything. And I wanted to say so bad, I thought you could ride a horse. But she forgot that when I trained him, it was kind of a push-button horse. You squeeze with the right leg, and you kind of move your rein, and he'd move that direction. You squeeze with the left leg, and he'd start moving that direction. You pick up on him and pick up on the right rein as you were loping in a circle, and squeeze with that right leg, and he'd reach out with his right leg, and he'd reach out with his left leg, and all of these things, but She didn't pay attention. My nephew, I had a horse. My daughter's actually got him now. Some of you have seen pictures of him. He came over one day and I said, "All right, this is what you got to do, Matt. When you get on, you got to do this. You got to do." I know how to ride. Well, I went on about my business and I noticed they're walking around in circles out there and he's eating grass. I'm like, why don't let my horse eat grass with a bit in his mouth? You don't do it. Well, he won't do nothing. I said, well, you didn't listen to the directions, did you? See, we got to listen to directions or we're not going to get it. And that's what Jude is telling us. There's some instructions in here that are very important and he's giving them to us and he's like he's warning you, kind of like an airplane. We're going to be flying over water. You know, if you fly from here to Phoenix, it's not going to be that important for water unless you land it in Lake Mead. But you need to listen to it. What if you did land in Lake Mead? It's about 250 feet deep. You're going to want a life vest on. Especially if you go down with the planes. And when you come out of the plane, like a cork, you'll come up anyway. So we need to pay attention if we're going to survive all of this stuff. And we're going to survive these last days. And let's go into what he says. So let's look at verse 20 of Jude. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, one, there's really seven things, and I'm really hoping I get through them tonight. I'm pretty sure we can. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That word faith is actually the faith of the body of truth. Right here. Amen. This is the body of truth. The Word of God. And we're to stick with that. Acts 2:42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's this right here. The Word of truth. It's that body of truth that we want to stick with and that's going to help us to stand. The Lord Jesus Christ is how we must build up ourselves in faith. You want to be strong in faith, you're going to have to read your Bible. You want to be strong in faith, you're going to have to be involved in preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's what it's going to take. And as Paul says, if we're going to stand, it's a whole lot better to stand together than it is alone. And Paul says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In other words, he didn't say that just, like I said this morning, make us all feel good. That, hey, it'd make me happy if everybody comes to church. It's for a purpose. It's so that we can stand strong, especially in the last days. We help each other. And we can't just pick it and say, you know, I'm going to study this and I'm going to study that. I'm going to study this part of the book of James, not the first part, last part of it. I'm going to study parts of Corinthians. Listen, there's 66 books. And honestly, we need to study all 66 books. Are they all super fun to study? No. Some of them are real pain. Some of you, you're looking at them trying to like, what is he talking about? But that's what we're to do. We're to study. And we're to study those whole books. When we're studying them, it'll help us out. You see, we can't build a house. Well, here, let's do this. We're going to build us a house on the foundation. I'm going to lay the slab and put a roof on it. What am I going to put the roof on? We have to put some walls up before you can put a roof on it. And that's what he's talking about. Whenever we're building up our faith, we better be doing it right if we intend to stand. Because that's what it's going to take. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved. That's what we're doing. And he goes on and he says, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And he said, rightly dividing the word of truth. All scripture, according to Paul, we can use all scripture for our everyday life. We can use it for whatever we need. You know, the reason that many people fall by the wayside is because they don't study. They don't have the proper foundation. They don't have the proper slab down. They don't have the right walls up. They didn't get it right. They tried to miss this step and miss this step because it won't take the easy way. Doesn't work that way. And when it all falls apart, guess what? It all falls apart, and it falls apart big time. The second thing he says here in 25, praying in the Holy Ghost. I like that. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, it's more than just saying, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Honestly, it's getting serious with prayer. And it's not just when you sit down to eat. You know, dear Lord, thank you for this food. Man, it's really good. I am just anxious to eat it. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's from your heart, that's okay. But what he's talking about here is getting serious with prayer. Getting real serious with prayer. You see, out of all of the weapons that we have, we have two offensive weapons. The rest of them are for the defense. We got the shield of faith and the helmet and you got all this stuff, but we got two weapons that's offensive weapons. Now, there's a very important word in here. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But now the Word of God in this verse is not Logos. You see, Logos means the entire Word of God. That's Genesis all the way to end of Revelation. That's what the word Logos means. It means the entire Word of God. But it's funny that the writer, or I shouldn't say the writer, but nonetheless, in Ephesians 6:17, when it says the sword of the Spirit, and if you want to turn there, you can turn there, but Ephesians 6:17 is where I'm talking about. In there it says the sword of the Spirit, but it also says, and we look at it as the Word of God, but actually it's not the Logos. It was a word called Rhema. And that word Rhema, is more like a saying of God. It's not the entire word, it's just a saying of God. Now, so the difference between Logos and Rhema is Logos is the entire Word of God. Everything that we read in the Word of God. But Rhema is that little something that jumps out at you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, so as any man should boast. Or for God so loved the world. It's that special wording in your life that the Lord speaks. Let me read it the way this guy put it. I found this on, a fellow says, sometimes when you're reading a passage of Scripture, the words seem to suddenly come alive. Take on flesh and bones. Leap off the page at you. Or it's kind of like it grows eyes that follow you around everywhere you go. Or develop a voice that echoes in your ears until you can't get away from it. That's the Rhema of God. That's what sticks with you all day long. When you're reading, J. Vernon McGee gave a really good example of studying the Word of God and using it. He said, you take a certain phrase in there that really stuck out to you, that really meant to you, and you work on it all day. Kind of like the old cow that lays her, she eats that cool grass in the morning, got the dew on it, and then all day she's laid up under their tree when it's really hot, and she's going, bleh. She's chewing the cud. And after a few minutes, you'll hear, bleh. She's chewing her cud. That's what we're to do, but we can't do that with the whole Bible. You can't remember all this. If you can, come see me. I want to hear it first, and then, man, you're going to make some money. You know, the deal is, it's that special something in there that really, really jumped out at you, that really, really meant something at the time of your study. That's what they called it. Well, this was the wording for Ephesians over there for the Rhema of God. It's that special saying. So, then there's praying. Because we got the sword of the Spirit. We got this right here. And it's an offensive weapon. It's to help me. Somebody said, so the rhema would be, somebody said, well, you'd lose your salvation. No, because Ephesians 4:30 says, I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Oh, no, because John 10:28-29 says, I'm placed in Jesus' hand and placed in God's hand. Can't nobody pluck me from that. Now, that's that little seed. It's jumping out there at me. I'm using it to help me in my life. And you're also helping other people. Now, then there's the prayer. Because in 6:18 of Ephesians, he said we got to pray. We got to get serious with praying. Praying, in 6:18, he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in spirit. That's that type of prayer that when we really get serious with it, when we really get down on our knees and we're really praying, that it our prayers reach out and touch the throne of God. That's the kind of prayer he's talking about in this. When we're living in this, in the times we're living in, we're going to have that kind of prayer. Because, listen, all honesty, who in here's ever been taken out in the street and a rod and just because you prayed? Nobody? You ain't been beat for him yet? But there's the key word. That little bitty word's got three letters in it, Y-E-T, yet. We might, and we might not. But we may get to that point that we are persecuted. Physically. You ever been persecuted mentally? I have. Anybody at work ever smirk you, or maybe you missed out on a little money because of it, or because of your stand for God, or and I brought it up one time about prayer in Colorado at a company I worked for, and they said, don't bring that mess in here. I'm like, okay, I got the hint. And I said something about Jesus one time at where I was working there, and they, don't bring Jesus into this. Lord, there'll be lawsuits and everything else. And that's true. That's a form of persecution. We're going to have that. I guarantee you, I'd say this about anybody in here that's employed. I can ask you, do you guys have prayer meetings before you go to work in the mornings? Maybe one or two of you, but invite all of them, all the personnel. They invited me to do the vocational thing. You pray before a business meeting in town hall down here. That's it. I go down there to do this prayer, and I go in there and I pray. I prayed for the people that was going to be there. I prayed for the people that were there. I prayed for the stuff that they were going to do. I went into all this, and then at the end of my prayer, and I said, and Lord, I said, give us the wisdom we need, and the people making the decisions, the wisdom they need to make the right decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Nobody said nothing to me. But I got a letter in the mail about a week later that said, we'd like for you to come back and give our prayer again, but we must be considerate of others. Now, they didn't say of how, but I read between the lines. They don't want me, how'd they put it? We must be considerate to others' faith. So I knew right then, there's some of them in there that probably pray to Allah and they don't appreciate me saying in Jesus' name. Because they look at Jesus as he's just an unemployed carpenter that was a little bit of a prophet. Bless his heart, he done the best he could and he got in trouble and died. That's the way they look at him. You know, he's God, but not near us. So they get a little angry over that stuff. They don't want you doing that. A missionary in Venezuela gave this definition of a prayer. He said, prayer is the Holy Spirit speaking in the believer through Christ to the Father. That's a pretty good definition. I kind of agree with him on that. Praying in the Holy Spirit means the Spirit of God guides us in all manners of our life. That's if we're gonna get serious with the times that we're living in and the times that are coming, then when we're praying, we best be following what the Holy Spirit is telling us to bring, to do. He said, go here, go. You ever read the Holy, well, I don't know, some of them may have. I had it on my heart to witness to a guy one time. And what I'll put it this way. I had it on my mind to witness to a fellow one time. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, I'm like, okay, I don't get it. We need to follow what he says. Sometimes you're better off zip your mouth. If we're listening to him, that may keep us out of a lot of trouble. Amen? Now, we got to 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God, but I want you to notice he did not say that we're to do something to get God's love. We just got to keep ourselves there. You know, listen, we're already in the love of God. We already know God loves us. We know that. He sent his son Jesus to die for us. We accepted him and he saved us. If everybody here tonight knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, God loves you. We already know that. And we don't have to do anything to make him love me anymore. He loves me as much as he's going to love me. It doesn't matter if I put a penny in the offering plate or if I put $100 bill in the offering plate. The Lord loves me the same. That's not going to change his love for me. Now, I can get out of graces with him, for lack of better words, I guess you could say. We live in a state that the sun shines a bunch. And I like the sunshine. I like the blue skies. I like the sunshine. But now, we can come in here, though, and we're out of the sunshine. But the sun's still shining. But we're out of the sunshine. Now, if you're following me, we can be in the sunshine of God's love, or we can get under a roof of sin, and we ain't no longer in the sunshine of God's love, but it's still there. He still loves me. I'm just not getting the warmth of it. I'm in here,
and the sin living however I want to live because I put this roof of sin over me, I could be out here getting the warmth and sunshine of God, His love, that's still there. But I walked away from it.
Now, we got to keep ourselves in the love of God. And the way to do that is to pay attention to what the Bible tells us. The way to do that is to do our best to be obedient. Are we going to be perfect in this life? No. But we can work at it. We got to work at it and we got to go in that direction. Paul said in Romans 8, 38-39, he said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God. It's always there. I may not feel it because of the way I'm living. Listen, I know my wife loves me. And I can be in that special place with my wife and she loves me and she'll lay her hands on me. Or I can torque her off. She still loves me. She just don't reach over and rub my hand. You know, she don't treat me like Kevin's dog does. She used to. But not anymore. He got a dog named Sandy. And I went over to his house one day and I met the dog. And she jumped up on me and started lifting my hand. And I looked at her and I said, my Sandy used to do the same thing. I'm just picking on her. In other words, I can be in really good where I know she loves me. But I walked away from that, so I'm not getting that comfort from her. I'd look at her and tell, oh, I've made her mad. But I know she still loves me. You know, we need to be careful. No matter what goes on in our life, God still loves us. And ain't nothing we can do to change that. Number four, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The mercy of God. That's His concern and care for you. Honestly, because of His mercy, we're saved. Amen? If it wasn't for God's mercy, we'd all die in our sins and go to hell. But nonetheless, we're looking, we've got that mercy, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that this references the rapture. I know that one day the rapture will happen. I know that there may be some persecution between now and the time the rapture happens. You wouldn't believe, and I should have wrote the figures down, but you wouldn't believe the Christians that are persecuted physically every day in our world. We don't hear of it here much. They keep it kind of quiet. But overseas, they got people dying for the Lord Jesus Christ, just like they did years ago. They're dying. I knew a guy that said in North Korea, if they find out you're a Christian, they'll lay you down in the tracks of where a tank drove. And then they'll drive the tank over you very slowly. All because you're a Christian. You see, we don't have it that way. Nobody's threatening to run me down with a tank. The Lord told me in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, He said, we're not appointed for wrath. We're going to leave here before the wrath of God starts. But until that day, it's hard to say what may take place. You may lose your job. You may lose your family. I've known some people that lost their family over the fact of Jesus Christ. See, we look at baptism as, well, let me think about it. And then we finally get baptized and the whole family comes out and watches. But you know, there are some families that if you get baptized in a Christian church, they will disown you. You are no longer welcome in their home. That's sad. But we live in that kind of world. Five. Now, let's go here. Verse 2, 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. Sometimes that's the hard thing to do. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes that verse is hard to do, especially for Americans. We could read it this way. And some have compassion who are in doubt. You see, not everybody in the church that we go to, that we're a member of, that's Wagon Wheel. Other places we might have been members, we might have lived. Not everybody in there is as spiritually mature as you are. Or you may think you are. All jokes aside, though, there are people in there that do not have quite the faith that I have. Or they may not have the faith Jose's got, or Deanna's got. They may not have the faith Ryan's got. I had faith in Ryan that he could lead singing. Lord help us, but I'm working with him. He's about as good a song leader as I am a guitarist. I didn't even play on two songs. No, I'm picking on him. Listen, we're all in a learning process in our life, right? We all get there. It depends on where our heart's at. And I was picking on him about that. But the deal is I may not be as strong in my faith and as spiritual as somebody else. So that somebody else, honestly, needs to have compassion on me because I don't have what they've got. I don't have that strength to say, well, I'm going to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other time the door's open. That's why I said that's a hard verse for me because I get irritated when people don't show up to church. I'm like, what are you, just stupid? I mean, that's what I want to look at them and say, what are you, stupid? You ought to come to church. What part of this don't you get? But I also have to look and say, well, there's several different reasons. They may not have the wheels to get there. They may be sick. But I know some of them just lay out. And I get angry with them. I really do. On Sundays, man, I got to be careful because my attitude by 11:05 is like, boom, let me call them. That's why I tell you to call them. Because if I call them, well, they're probably screaming to call them. But I may not say the right thing. I may say, where were you at? Well, I was sick. Sure. I am too. You can hear it in my voice, but I'm at church. So we need to have compassion on them. That's what he's saying. Because see, when we have compassion, we make a difference. When we show compassion to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we make a difference in their lives. Well, I got one amen. Amen. All right. Number 6. 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There are folk in my life, and I'm sure yours too, that you look at and you're like, you know, it's hopeless to even talk to them anymore. Why even invite them to church? Why would I even... I'm going to give you an answer to what was in the question in the bulletin. Why cast my pearls before the swine? Why in the world would I...
They just seem hopeless to you. They're not going to get it together. They're not going to get saved. They're going to die and go to hell. They're stupid. They know better and they're going to do it anyway. Well, they may be totally ignorant. I highly doubt it, but they could be. But you know what? He says, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Listen, we may need to back up. Get out of their life. Let them go do their thing. But don't ever give up praying for them. Amen. Never give up praying for them, because you never know when they may walk through the door and say, you know what? I need Jesus. We may have to back out of their life, but we don't ever give up totally on them. Never stop praying for them. 7. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, that word flesh doesn't necessarily mean their sinful acts. It really doesn't. There are people in this world, they never rob a store. They never do anything wrong. They're respectful to their mom and their dad. They're respectful to other people. They pay their bills on time. Man, they do everything right. And really, they're not out there just outright committing sin. But they're gonna die and go to hell the same way Charles Manson is. Amen. Or maybe he did. Didn't he die? I can't remember now. Yeah, he's dead. And unless he knew the Lord Jesus, and I really don't think he did, he's in hell. Listen, the nicest person in the world, that sweet, sweet lady, cooked you cookies all the time because you worked in her flower bed and mowed her lawn. Maybe you opened the door for her. She's just a sweetheart, wouldn't do anything wrong to anybody. But if she didn't know Jesus, she'd go into hell. You see, we're to hate the flesh, the fleshly way of thinking. We're to hate that, just like the Lord does. Because He says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pride, that's... Here, let me get a little personal. Pride is of the flesh. How many in here is proud? I'll be honest with you, I'm proud. I'm a proud American. I'm a proud patriot. I'm proud I served in the Army. I'm not to the point of I'm so prideful that I'm way up here above everybody else. I have been there. That ain't a good place to be. That's of the flesh. Back years ago, I grew my mustache out real long. And I wore all the cowboy garb. And man, people knew who I was. I was a super duper horseshoer. And I worked with a bed. And man, I had to get a size bigger. I had to get a stretch hat because my head just got bigger. Listen, I had a lot of pride. But the Bible says pride goeth before a fall. Trust me, it's a hard fall. But anyway, pride is of the flesh, gossip. I like that. Out. Gossip is of the flesh. How many of you in here gossip? Come on. We all gossip. Now I state a lot of facts, but it's still gossip. You know, nonetheless, we all do it. That's of the flesh. Harsh criticism. Oh, wouldn't none of us do that? I ain't never called nobody an idiot. Would that be under harsh criticism? Oh, I just lied. I had somebody pull out in front of me the other day. I said, well, idiot, he didn't hear me. So it really didn't matter to him that I said it or not. And I thought, now why'd I call him an idiot? I really did. That's what I thought. I thought, what'd I call him an idiot for? Because he made me move my legs so I'd get on the brick. I mean, come on. But honestly, that is, you know, there's a lot of flesh that is manifested in the church. We need to be careful with that. You see, the Apostle Paul put it this way. I like what Paul said in Romans. He put it this way. He said, "Oh, wretch man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Romans 7:24. Even the Apostle Paul, which is, other than Jesus, the greatest missionary that ever walked the face of this earth, wrote the majority of the New Testament. Even he said, "Oh, wretch man that I am." You see, we need to cry out to the Lord, as Paul did, and say, "Lord, help me in all of these things." Because we are in the last days. People are looking for an excuse to look at you and say, "Well, I thought you was Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. I thought you were Mr. Right. You had everything perfect. You just judge everybody." They're looking for that excuse. Don't give it to them. You see, we're living in an unreal time. We're living in the last days. We're seeing the apostasy firsthand. And the truth of the matter is, we need to get really serious serving the Lord and trying to have that mind that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I didn't tell you it's going to be easy. And it might get really hard. But nonetheless, Jesus said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. Let's stand.